Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts on the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. Today we're here with Mike Trainer from Intel. Mike, tell me what your role is at Intel.
Well, thank you, Allison. I work in our mobile platforms group, and I work in the marketing section of that. I am our mobile technology evangelist, and I spend most of my time working with sort of the adjacent industries that provide ingredients, whether they be hardware or software ingredients, that help notebook makers build better notebooks. So I kind of evangelize our technology and technology directions to the rest of the industry.
Well, as a road warrior at Intel, I'm always intrigued on what we're delivering on mobility, Mike. So why don't you tell me about what is next in terms of mobility and what Intel is focused on?
Well, there's a couple of things, Allison. One of them is early next year, we're going to be delivering the Penryn processor, which is our next generation Core 2 microprocessor built around 45 nanometers. That's going to be available in mobile platforms early next year. And as part of what we call our TikTok model of development for the industry, this one's going to be easy. This will drop right into the platforms that are being shipped today. So system makers will be able to quickly offer essentially new platforms with more performance immediately early next year. That's one step. Then as we move into the middle of next year, we'll deliver a whole new platform codenamed Montevina using the same but faster versions of the Penryn processor, but this time it'll be all new chipsets that will have vastly new capabilities for notebooks. So you'll see a whole platform change around middle of next year.
So the Penryn transition, you know, we're moving to 45 nanometer with High-K. Does that provide some unique value in terms of energy efficiency on the mobile platforms?
Oh, it's tremendous for energy efficiency. As you probably know and as our listeners know, the High-K dielectric greatly reduces up to 10x the amount of leakage current that happens inside each transistor of the processor. So what that means is when we take the processor into its low power states, we are essentially bringing the power consumption down by about 10x from where it was previously. And of course, what we try to do in mobile computing is have processors that jump very quickly into operational mode, work very fast to get whatever task they have done, and then drop down into the lowest possible power saving mode they can be in, and hopefully stay in that for a long time. So the point is, when they're in those low power modes, we're going to be saving 10x the kind of power that we were able to save in the previous generation. So this High-K dielectric is really going to be great for mobile.
And then you mentioned Montevina. Now, that's a new code name for me. Can you tell me a little bit about the features on Montevina and why they're important?
Sure. Montevina is the codename for our next platform, as I said. It's going to have a new chipset, so a new graphics controller, a new memory controller, a new I.O. controllers. In the graphics space, we're going to deliver another big step forward in graphics performance for integrated graphics. It's also in the memory controller space, it will support DDR3 memory, which is a new memory type, which is just coming onto the scene now. DDR3 is tremendous for mobile because it really does two things at once. It will reduce the power consumption at any current level of memory performance. It also is a new architecture or a new signaling technology on the memory, so it will allow us to move to much greater headroom, much greater speeds of future memory. And in fact, it's one of those wonderful things that it's almost two bins as good, if you will. So you could drop down two bins in power consumption, you move ahead two bins in performance, or you could go one bin ahead and actually consume less power and get more performance. On the I.O. space, we're building in a lot more intelligence into our I.O. controller, so we'll be able to support more and better active management technology functions. We'll also be able to do things like protect keys better. There's some technology built in that we'll be able to use flash connected right up to our I.O. controller to protected keys so you can do more trusted things on it.
Are these platforms also moving to PCI Express 2.0?
There'll be some of that in the graphics space, but the PCI Express Gen 2 for mobile will be a little bit later in time, more out in the 09, 010 timeframe.
Okay.
You know, one other thing will be the integration of WiMAX and Wi-Fi. So the Montevina platform will be available with an integrated WiMAX and Wi-Fi wireless controller card, which of course will allow people to build platforms that then can do both of those technologies.
So we've been talking about WiMAX for a long time at Intel, and it sounds like WiMAX is finally starting to hit that inflection point where it's going to connect with a lot of users. What's the importance of WiMAX, and why is the integration with Wi-Fi a critical feature?
WiMAX blows away the hotspot, and you now get connectivity everywhere. And we expect to see a similar kind of step up in the use of mobility, in the value of mobility in all of our lives. We think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to be even bigger than people think it's going to be right now. So that's about the phenomena of WiMAX or what WiMAX is going to bring. Putting them on two cards is, in one sense, you know, simple engineering, if you will. But it's very helpful to system makers because there is limited space inside of the systems, and being able to provide both functions on one card is going to help the space. I think it also helps us in the way we engineer the two radios and the way we're able to help mitigate electrical noise issues, EMI issues inside the platform. It's a very difficult, detailed subject, and we do a lot of work with our system maker customers on that. Putting them together gives us a few more tools, a few more knobs we can turn, if you will, to help mitigate that.
So WiMAX sounds like it means that my boss will be able to find me no matter where I am in the world at any time, and I'll be working all the time.
I'm sure your boss is listening, and he's very happy that he'll have that capability. It's true that we keep getting these tools that help us work more places, more times. I think all of us, though, are thankful that it gives us more flexibility in being able to work when we need to and relax and do other things when we can.
The integration of WiMAX and Wi-Fi, does that just provide a transition point so that Wi-Fi in the hotspots where you need it and WiMAX connectivity where it's been deployed, or is that oversimplistic?
Our current view is that both will continue to flourish, that people will use hotspots or Wi-Fi connectivity for very high-speed connectivity in the places they're using them today, in the office and in the home. But then you'll switch over to WiMAX and get essentially today's kind of connectivity out in the open. But that's while you'll be getting more connectivity, more speed in the office and home. So I think the two are going to coexist for the foreseeable future, certainly. But it'll be a difference in how much connectivity, how much speed you can get in the two locations.
Makes sense. Obviously, Intel can't do this alone. What are we doing with the industry to drive these initiatives forward?
We're doing everything we can to try to help the whole industry understand our direction and join us in going those directions and in providing the products, the technologies, the tools that system makers need to deliver the kinds of systems that we envision. And that is actually where I spend most of my working day, if you will, working with other people in the industry who are providing ancillary products that are needed by notebook makers. So I spend a lot of time talking to drive makers and memory makers and screen makers and keyboard makers and such, because you need all of those products, and all of those products need to be designed well for mobile computing in order that system makers can make great systems.
So, Mike, we're here at IDF. IDF is the event where we really roll out the future of our technology to the industry. Tell me what's new about mobile at IDF this time.
In Paul Otellini's keynote this morning, he, of course, talked about our Penryn processor, which is 45 nanometer high-K dielectric and coming out next year. But he also talked about the next step, which is a processor called Nehalem, which will be more cores, more threads, more performance, and even better power management. So that's going to be great for mobile. In addition, he talked about what we're doing in the graphics space, and he talked about accelerating our use of our latest generation silicon technology to build graphics controllers in integrated graphics, and going from where we're essentially 1.5 to 2 generations of process technology behind today in the way we're doing it to bringing us to the same process technologies for processors and graphics. Since integrated graphics are so important in mobile, we're at 60% and growing of the amount of use of integrated graphics in mobile, because integrated graphics makes so much sense from a space and power consumption. This is great news for us in mobile because it's really going to bring more graphics performance into the mobile space.
I was surprised and delighted by the announcement that we had hit the 10x power efficiency goal 2 years prior to what we had set it at, and then set a new goal for 2010 of a further 10x power reduction on ultra mobile devices.
Yes, there's tremendous things happening in that space, and we think that we're finally getting the kinds of products that are going to allow system makers to really revolutionize the whole handheld space. And yes, we're 2 years ahead of schedule on bringing the average power consumption down. And what Paul talked about this morning is a further challenge we've thrown to ourselves of bringing the idle power down by another 10x in those kinds of devices. So you'll get much better standby times, or the device won't have to be recharged as often. And of course, that's very important in the handheld things.
Well, Mike, it was a pleasure talking to you today about where mobile connectivity and where mobile devices are going in the future. Thanks for being here on Chip Chat.
Thanks, Allison. I hope we can do many more of these. Go mobile.